It's time for the Mount Vernon Wildcats Coaches Show on 106.7 WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com. This Coaches Show is brought to you exclusively by United Fidelity Bank. And now, here's your host, Alan Buck.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Mount Vernon High School Football Coaches Show right here on 106.7 WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com. I'm Alan Buck, and here with me is Coach Brad Higginson, and we've got to cover Friday night's game against Boonville and look forward to the next game against Gibson Southern. Coach, first thing, of course, everybody come out healthy?
We had a couple guys banged up. When you get in those dogfights and you get behind and you try to call and do a little extra, you get those strains and pains. But I don't think there's any major injuries that's going to set guys back. From that standpoint.
So Levi Jones come off twice limping.
Yeah.
Once with each ankle. I might have misread it. It might have been the same ankle both times.
He's had a lingering issue, and it really stems back from the beginning of summer. And, you know, every time we feel like we get him back to 100%, something else happens, and he goes right back into the protocol of recovery. So.
Yeah, that's a tough thing when your center goes down. And then do you move Shue over to center or?
No. So Clyde Charber stepped in last night and finished the game from there. And, we got a couple different guys that can play that position, but Levi's the staple there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Charber had a great game the first game of the season defensively and then just step up and do that last night. That's pretty good for him to – step into those roles. Did the team, any of the players, any of your leaders have any comments to say after last night's game?
No, not much. I mean, when you take it 40 to nothing on the chin, I think it's more of just self-reflection and making sure that, you know, we fix our mistakes. I think we did a lot better job of, you know, correcting some of our Forest Park mistakes, and then you come in and create some new ones. And just got to continue to coach and stay on them about the details of the game. And, you know, we didn't execute. You work on something all week, and then you go out on our Friday night when you see it live. Sometimes it looks just a little different, and it throws you off, or, you know, guys just didn't, execute that part of the game. Well, and you know, the physicality that you see on Friday isn't the physicality that you see throughout the week, and gives you a little false sense of accomplishment when you're going against a guy that's a little less than what you're going to see on Friday night.
Yeah, we talked about that at the game, Chris and I did on the air, about the you can't create the sense of urgency on some situations in practice that you need to in the game, like particularly with, well, I'll use an example of the field goal. You can say, you know, game's on the line, we're going to kick a field goal in practice.
Right.
Doesn't mean anything. You got to execute during the game.
Yeah.
And
can't replicate that pressure.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And what you're talking about with executing plays and your varsity's number ones are going against JVs or what have you, it is a totally different situation than what you get in the game on Friday. And I looked, Boonville had some sizable linemen too.
Yeah, they had one or two, big guys, and they played with a lot of energy, and we had a pretty good, set up there to, take advantage of some things, and just ball didn't bounce our way again. That was frustrating. I mean, you get the opening kickoff and you catch the ball on the knee, and then you get the turnover a couple plays later, and our focus was starting fast, and when you don't get that start that you were looking for. You start to look for other things and other answers, and just didn't fall our way in certain areas.
Yeah, when I was compiling statistics at the end of the game, I was surprised at how little yardage they actually had, but we gave them a short field three times.
Yeah,
I think it might have been the last one. They ran a kickoff back to the 50-yard line.
Right at the beginning.
Oh, that was the beginning of third quarter. That's right, because they took half of the third quarter to only go 50 yards, which, pretty good consistent drive on their part, but also very good defensive resistance on your part.
Yeah, when when we execute, we're really good. And we got to continue to harp on the little things. You know, block destruction has got to get better. You know, understanding of playing physical at the point of attack. You know, when we do it, we're really good. When we get fourth down stops, we get teams off the field, we force them to punt. But, you know, that's just on, you know, from a defensive perspective, one guy slips a gap and they find it. You know, that's the big difference.
We talked about this last week. It's the focus. The kids got to stay focused for that entire 6 seconds of that play. Excuse me. And then they got to get ready for the next one. And they got to stay focused.
Yeah.
Because you did have some really good success, but didn't string it together for all four quarters. And there was one series when Boonville had the ball that St. Henderson went around the I don't know if you had a tackle out that was taking care – a defensive tackle was taking care of their offensive tackle, but he went around their left end and made two tackles in the backfield consecutively, and whatever he found there, he was wearing it out.
Yeah, Saint on defense stepped up. He played really well. He was all over the field. He was aggressive. You know, sometimes almost too aggressive to a degree. But no, he had a really good game. Played.
I'd rather have him err too aggressively than, you know, not aggressive enough.
To a certain degree, as long as you're doing your assignment, that's the most important part. And that's the thing that we're trying to teach him is do your job first and then go make the play. Sometimes he's looking to just go make the play, and that's at some point going bite him in the butt, you know, because sometimes when you get too aggressive, teams will take advantage of that.
Yeah, that's true.
And they didn't. They ran away from him all day, and he kept chasing it down, you know, and things like that. So
his speed did show. That's
for sure
on the defensive side. And you know, I've been watching. Well, this is your first year with him. I've been watching him since he was a freshman. The first thing he did, I looked at and I thought, this kid's going to be a player.
Yeah.
And that was just as a freshman. He seems like, I don't know, but I bet his GPA is pretty good because he just seems like he picks things up very quickly.
You know, it's one of those deals where he's, you know, he does well in the classroom. You know, is he a 4.0 guy? Probably not, but he's a football player, you know, and those guys, they, when you're more athletic than the kid across from you, you can take advantage of it. But when you're at the same level, you got to use your football knowledge to get you in advantages and things like that. And I think he does some of that really well.
The game within the game.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I had one of my sons was an undersized lineman. And as a defensive end, he'd always talk about the hand fighting, giving one move one time, maybe two or three times in a row, and get the tackle to move that direction and then do a totally different move, and you've beaten him, and you can make the play. But it's staying focused and staying mentally aware. You're not just out there running and hitting people and tackling.
Right.
You're figuring out how to accomplish that the most efficient way.
Yeah.
And you've got some smart players.
Yeah, the earlier we can do that, the better. You know, we're still learning some of that, you know, within the system of the defense with everything being new.
You got a lot of young kids, too.
We do. We got Kalen Maddox on the back end, and then, you know, it's all juniors and sophomores from there. You know, linebacker wise, I think we start, you know, two seniors and a junior, and then the sub that comes in is Paxton Boyd, and he did a pretty good job last night. You know, on both sides of the ball as a sophomore, and then, you know, as far as defensive line, I think it's sophomore, junior, senior. So, you know, there are some guys that haven't played a whole lot of football. They're still trying to figure it out.
Well, and with those different ages, they're learning how to play with each other too.
Yeah.
We've talked about that before a little bit, that the football, to me, is the ultimate team game. You've got to do your job. You got to depend on your guy next to you to do his job. And you can't – and each has to do their own job because, you know, if one breaks down, the whole thing can break down.
Yeah. And got to give Boonville credit. They did a good job of changing formations and giving us extra gaps and things like that. And that relies on us to communicate well and be gap sound. And, you know, we did make some adjustments on defense, but at the end of the day, you know, we still got to tackle. And I think we didn't do a very good job of tackling, you know, at times. And it showed with big runs. And a lot of their big plays were due to, you know, us, the lack of finishing at the tackle.
Yeah, and you faced running back Mason Jones. I mean, he was They list him at 6'2", 210. We talked about the value of Mount Vernon's big backs. You faced another one of your own. I mean, Mason Jones was very big, but very disciplined, very patient when he needed to be.
Yeah.
But attacked the hole.
And, yeah. They do a good job of playing lateral to vertical. So I guess what I mean by that is that they try to run the ball outside, but he sees the gap, he can cut and get vertical mm-hmm. quickly, and you know, the backside pursuit's got to get there. But you know, he's a big kid, and he ran the ball hard.
And he blocked well too. He took Trip Kelly into the end zone one time. Kelly ended up walking in, but it was because of Mason Jones and his blocking. Kind of the same thing that we talked about when St. Henderson's blocking for right. Easton Hall.
Yeah.
And that's a thing of beauty when you got a kid that's carrying the ball, and this time he's the escort.
Yeah.
So, anything you want to talk about the Boonville game before we move on?
Biggest thing is just learn from our mistakes and you know, put it behind us and mm-hmm. you know, come out with a positive mindset on Monday to go up to the JV game and you know, go execute.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to make sure that you know, when we come ready to play Gibson Southern, that we fix the mistakes that we're creating and. Mm-hmm. You know, to be able to overcome those adverse situations.
Yeah, you mentioned it earlier, and we talked about it last night. Penalties were way down. I don't know how many penalties you had, but it wasn't very many. I only counted. I counted three off the top of my head.
Yeah, four total.
Four. Okay.
Yeah, we had the pass interference on Waz, which was just an aggressive play. The ball was thrown behind it. You know, we had a face mask penalty that they called late that you know got in the heat of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That was the one that, okay, when the kid's helmet came off, if a Mount Vernon player yanked it off by the face mask, sure, that's the penalty. But we couldn't see that. We saw the helmet come off. At that point, the play needs to be blown dead. By rule, the play's over when a helmet comes off.
Yeah.
And they didn't blow it dead, and Easton Hall finished it and put him on the ground. And then they talked about it and threw a flag.
Yeah.
Did somebody grab the face mask and pull the helmet off, or is that what the call is when a helmet actually comes off?
And I think that they're saying that we forcibly took the helmet off and gave us a face mask call. And
okay.
You know, the advantage of the high school rule now for me to learn is that personal foul isn't a first down, and we've taken advantage of that a couple of times. Forest Park was another one. They got a face mask call, and it was still third down.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, that played to our favor a little bit. But the thing I was frustrated with that was their guy came back and retaliated, and it wasn't, you know, offsetting penalties. You know, those are things that the officials got to catch because their offensive lineman came in and pushed our guy, and there's no flag thrown for that.
Yeah.
Yet our guy gets penalized, and rightfully so. You know, mm-hmm. if we're ripping a guy's helmet
if he earned
off.
It, he earned it.
Right.
That's fine.
So, but, you know, officials are officials, and you know.
It's only second week for them, too.
Got to get things, you know, fair and right.
Yeah, but, the other thing, though, did you have any offensive illegal procedures?
I don't believe so.
I don't think you did.
We lined up in the right spots. We didn't have anybody motion wrong.
And that's what killed your offensive drives numerous times at Forest Park.
Yeah. So the offense did a really good job of correcting those mistakes. Yeah. I think one of the other penalties was a holding call on a kickoff return or punt return or something like that. So, you know, those are combat penalties that you can live with. You know, obviously you don't want to see guys getting those face masks and that kind of stuff. But, you know, we did clean that up, and that was good to see. You know, it just goes down to execute, and they moved a lot on the front, on their defensive line, and we got to do a better job of handling that. Mm-hmm. You know, but overall, you know, we just got to learn from it, move on.
Okay. Well, we'll take a break here and come back and talk about preparation for next week. You're listening to 106.7 WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com.
You've got places to go, and Better Banking can help you and your money go further. Are you ready to take your money to new heights? Get a flexible high-yield checking account that lets you customize your interest rate so you can keep your finances headed in the right direction. With Elevate Checking from United Fidelity Bank, you're in control of how much you earn. You can raise your rate with a few easy steps, like using your mobile banking app or getting your paychecks by direct deposit. Get more ways to earn more with Elevate Checking and start earning 4.00% APY. Learn more at unitedfidelity.com/elevate or visit your local banking center. Must meet certain criteria to qualify. Rates may change at any time without notice after the account is opened. APY is accurate as of August 1st, 2024. $25 minimum deposit required to open. Fees or other conditions could reduce earnings on the account. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to the Mount Vernon High School Football Coaches Show on 106.7 WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com. I'm Alan Buck, sitting here with Coach Brad Higginson, and we've talked about the Boonville game. We are going to talk about we're going up to Gibson Southern next week. It's always a hostile environment up there. Have you seen tape on them yet, or where are you in your studying for them?
Yes, we have one game on them. They actually play on Saturday, so we're a little behind on the schedule.
That's right. They play at 6 o'clock this evening against the team from Missouri.
Yeah, so so we don't have their second game officially at this point, which we'll get that later today once they play and all that good stuff. And you know, they're a good football team. They're really good. They're very well coached. I played with Nick at Kentucky Wesleyan. You know, one of their defensive coaches was my coach in middle school at Kevin Jingleball.
Okay.
So Joe's nephew is over there, and they're very well coached. They got a lot of depth. You know, they don't have a whole lot of two-way players. They got a quarterback that got some playoff experience last year that's back. You know, and they're a fast-tempo offense when they want to be, and you know, defensively they're sound, and, and they do a lot. You know, it's going to be a ball control game, and you know, we got to do our part in making sure that we're gap sound on defense. We can control the line of scrimmage. I mean, you know, we just got to continue. We get a couple guys back that have been out with injuries and in off the field stuff that are going to help us. You know, get a little better each week.
Yeah, that's good, because you're going to need as many bodies as you can because of their fast paced offense. I've not seen high school teams that can run that fast-paced offense efficiently without making their own mistakes, and they tend to make very few mistakes offensively.
Yeah, and one thing that we're going to have to do in practice is just get adjusted to they change personnel and still play a fast-tempo offense. You know, I've had the ability to watch them for a while just from recruiting and things like that, and understand what, you know, Nick is built and what his offense is really built about, and you know, be able to take advantage of some different things. They're very good at you know, taking what defenses give them and things of that nature. But you know, the rule that I don't like in high school that we have the advantage in college is if you change personnel, they hold the ball. In high school, they don't. So they'll run some guys on the field and run guys off. They're very efficient,
and you don't have the opportunity to counter.
You do, but you got to be fast. And you know, in college it's, hey, we're changing personnel, hey, we need to change personnel. The other advantage at high school is our we can change our defense without changing our personnel, so that's a positive for us. So you just have to game plan around personnel and down a distance.
Do you think, having played with Nick Hart over in Kentucky Wesleyan, do you think that gives you a little bit of an advantage, a little insight into how he thinks the game or looks the game, or is that kind of irrelevant because it was 20 years ago?
It was 20 years ago, but you still stay in touch with those guys over time and, you know, recruit their guys. And, you know, we have a strong rapport. He was one of the first guys to call me when I got the job. You know, he's one of the first guys I call when I got an issue or need advice, and from the coaching ranks, or, you know, those kind of things too. So, you know, he's probably one of the ones I know the best other than Coach Shank, you know, and just kind of driving home the message of, you know, we got to be disciplined and we got to execute and those kind of things. And that's what they are. They are disciplined. They execute well, and they, you know, they play fast.
Mm-hmm. That you talked about numbers. If people aren't familiar with Gibson Southern, I don't think it, when you've got that kind of numbers, they can have ones going against twos on one side of the field and ones going against twos on another side of the field. They can kind of double their practice time because they don't have anybody going both ways. They might have one or two, but it's not a.
Yeah, when you have depth and you have an offensive team and a defensive team, it does give you the advantage of, you know, splitting up practice and things. You still have to have coaches to coach those positions in different ways and things like that. You know, but ultimately, It keeps them fresh. That's the biggest thing, is that, you know, they get to go over and make adjustments on the sideline and during the game, and, you know, they're off their feet a little bit more. Whereas, you know, a guy like Easton Hall or Gavin Hsu, they don't get an opportunity to talk to a coach until the end of the quarter or timeout or halftime, you know, and things of that nature. So communication and foresight of seeing, you know, what potentially could happen and getting them prepared. You got to do that during the week. You can't do that on the sideline.
Yeah, we noticed last night there were several players that I didn't see them come off the field at all. I'm sure they probably did because I don't follow them every single play, but Easton Hall's one. When you take him out, does he argue with you because he wants to stay on the field so much? I'm just kidding. But
week one, he probably would have yelled at me. Week two, he missed a couple of days of practice because of an injury that was unforeseen. We didn't know about it till Monday, and it was just something that showed up late, and illness. But he missed 2 days of practice, so this week was more. You probably saw him run on off the field a little bit more than what he typically does. You know, from there, and then you know, have some other guys banged up that, you know, typically are at 100%. You know, you gotta plan and be ready and make sure that you have somebody ready to step in when those guys are banged up.
The we're always talking about health, but linemen specifically, because, you know, still it's still some hot weather. This week's going to be hot. Do you have enough healthy linemen that you can spell them and get them, like, for instance, six players to play four positions, for instance, that type of thing?
Yeah, I mean, you got Trevin Bell played really well last night. He bounced in on defense. And
will he be able to play Friday?
Trevin?
Yeah. All right, he will be? Okay. Yeah. I couldn't tell. You know, we hopped off that 1 foot Friday last night, or, you know.
No, as far as I know, he's good to go. Levi is the one that we got to get healthy.
Levi's the one. My mistake. I had the wrong player.
Yeah, so Trevin is kind of the Swiss Army knife guy. He can play guard. He can play tackle. He can play defensive line. You know, Evan Craig is another one that we got to keep healthy. We get Colton Stillwater back, or Stillwagner back, and that's a big addition. He's a big guy up front that hasn't played in the first two games, and now we get him back. You know, and that's a blessing. So, you know, it's just – putting the right pieces in the right spots and, you know, keeping them healthy is the trick.
Yeah. Will Levi be able to go Friday, or is he out for a week?
I doubt he's completely out. He's a tough kid. You know, but we'll reevaluate. We didn't have him late in the quarter, but, you know, I think that was a smart decision with the situation.
Absolutely.
You know, but at the end of the day, like, it's really just about player management and injury management and keeping them healthy as possible. So.
Okay. All right. We'll take another break here and then come back and finish up and go over specifics for Friday night. You're listening to 106.7 WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com.
You've got places to go, and Better Banking can help you and your money go further. Are you ready to take your money to new heights? Get a flexible high-yield checking account that lets you customize your interest rate so you can keep your finances headed in the right direction. With Elevate Checking from United Fidelity Bank, you're in control of how much you earn. You can raise your rate with a few easy steps, like using your mobile banking app or getting your paychecks by direct deposit. Get more ways to earn more with Elevate Checking and start earning 4.00% APY. Learn more at unitedfidelity.com/elevate or visit your local banking center. Must meet certain criteria to qualify. Rates may change at any time without notice after the account is opened. APY is accurate as of August 1st, 2024. $25 minimum deposit required to open. Fees or other conditions could reduce earnings on the account. Member FDIC.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Mount Vernon High School Football Coaches Show on 106.7 WMVI. I'm MountVernonRadio.com. I'm Alan Buck, sitting here with Coach Brad Higginson. And before we totally go forward to Gibson Southern, we need to talk about last night at the Friday night's game against Boonville. Terrific night with the first responders and all. It looked like it was very well received by the fans. Our side was packed. Of course, part of that's Boonville, and part of that's, you know, with the first responders. And thought you all did a real good job of featuring them. And they came out of the tunnel and had, you know, fire trucks and all around. That was pretty good.
Yeah, a lot of planning went into that. It was awesome to see the execution side of that. You know, we worked with our local authorities in a lot of different ways, and we wanted to make sure that, one, that they know that we're behind them just as much as they're behind us in protecting mm-hmm. and serving and all the good things that they do in our community. And, you know, we were able to work with Jamie Bradford, who is one of the 911 dispatch personnel. And she was a big part of helping. But, you know, getting the fire trucks there with the big flag in the end zone, the lights on the cars lined up for our guys to walk through, recognizing them, letting them, you know, get their, you know, they always say the 5 minutes of fame and that kind of stuff, but they get it every day. But just to kind of push on that, you know, we had our incident a few weeks ago with one of our players and his family and the tragedy that happened with the boating accident and the call to service that those people do for our community and our team. You know, we talked about the irony of putting this together 3 months ago and then that tragic accident happens, and they rise up to the challenge, and they did what they could. And obviously, it's not the outcome that you wanted, but at the same point in time, like, you know, that family has a little bit of closure now and mm-hmm. everything, but we appreciate everything that they did. Now, it was a great turnout. The crowd was there. They were excited. There's a lot going on. And, you know, we want that every week. You know, we got to bring an RA game from a football perspective, but, you know, from a community standpoint and first responders night, I feel like it went really well.
Absolutely. It did. And those people do deserve to be honored and showing their appreciation like was done last night. I thought was really good. There was a good full house to do that for them too. And Boonville traveled well, so they could, I'm sure, might give them an idea to do that for their folks up in Warwick County.
Yes, sir.
You're going to Thursday night, do you have a pregame meal Thursday, or are you just talking about just feeding them before they get on the bus and all Friday?
Feed them after the game, things of that nature. You know, I think, you know, potentially bringing guys in before school, doing some more meeting time before school mm-hmm. instead of after school, so we can spend a little bit more time at practice. Things of that nature. So just making a few tweaks here and there. You got a JV game, you know, from a Monday night perspective of getting over there and getting more guys reps and continue to build on the process. But preparation this week is just being assignment sound, execute to our ability, play physical football. You know, it's really just about bringing the fight to them. You mm-hmm. know, everybody sees us as an underdog, and you know, rightfully so. That's a good football team we're going to see on Friday night. But mm-hmm. you know, when you got nothing to lose, you know, sometimes you can dig a little deeper and find a little secret sauce sometimes.
Well, the thing we pointed out last night, we saw that fight to the end. Mount Vernon didn't, I mean, the score was out of hand, but they didn't give up. They still were pushing hard and hitting hard and playing good, clean football, but playing hard to the very last whistle. And yeah. That was always good to see.
Yeah.
Well, Coach, appreciate your time, and we will adjourn for this week. Good luck Friday. And with that, I will say good night to all good sports. You're listening to 106.7 WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com.
You've been listening to the Mount Vernon Wildcats Coaches Show on 106.7 WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com. This Coaches Show has been brought to you exclusively by United Fidelity Bank. Keep up to date with your home of the Wildcats, 106.7 WMVI and PoseyCountyRadio.com.